So, do you hear me? Are you ready? Okay. Then let's start where we finished in the last session. I wanted to talk a little bit about the hardware specification because this is important, especially for developers. What is important and what is really different from the former Windows Mobile platform is we have a consistent set of hardware. And these capabilities have been defined by Microsoft. So it's not possible that an OEM vendor, a hardware vendor, for example, makes another resolution other than defined by Microsoft. So at launch, there will be only one resolution. So you can just more or less hard code your applications to this resolution, and it is 800 times 480. This is the only resolution that's out there in the market. There will be a second resolution later, which will be 480 to 220, but I'm not really sure when that is coming or if it is coming. Every device will have the same touch input. Every device will have consistent processors and GPUs. It is strictly defined how many RAM has to be on the device, and the keyboard is optional. So, when you design your applications, you have to keep in mind that there might be a keyboard available. And this has certain implications I can speak about later. This is the hardware foundation. As I said, we have a display 480 to 800. We must have a capacitive touch display with four or more contact points. We have quite a bunch of sensors built in right into the phone that must be there. It must have a GPS sensor. It must have an accelerometer, I think. My colleague will, in the X&A session, will talk about the accelerometer because this is interesting for game developers. It must have a compass, light, and proximity sensor. There must be a camera built in with at least 5 megapixels. And you can even leverage the camera from your own application, so you can add a functionality where you say, okay, start the camera dialogue, take a camera, take the picture, and do something with the picture inside of your application. That's possible. The buttons on the bottom are fixed. There is always a start button, there's a search button, and there is a back button. The back button is especially important for developers because you are able to override the behavior of the back button, but you shouldn't. Because if there is an error in your application and the back button doesn't work like it should work, and the normal functionality is that it terminates your application, then you would harm the functionality of the phone, and this is not good for the user. We have a GPU, DirectX 9 capable GPU, so there's quite a lot of power in it, as you can see in the X&A game section. There must be 255 megabytes of RAM or more. I'm not aware how much RAM the devices have that have been presented this week. I think every one of them has 256 gig megabyte of RAM. And the CPU has to be ARM V7 Cortex Scorpion or better. We are really expecting some dual-core devices, actually. So let's talk about the application platform. Where do we start? We start with the tools we use to ship and sell. No, tools and support. So we program our applications, of course, with Visual Studio, and as I said, you will get that for free. You design your applications, if you are able to do it, with Expression Blend, and you will get that for free as well. There are cloud services. It's not, well, you, perhaps you can read it, cloud services, it says here. So Microsoft has integrated some of their cloud services, and there are quite a lot of cloud services Microsoft has out there. And the phone will work as a single access point to these cloud services. Notification services, for example, push notifications play in that area as well, and I will talk about that later. And you have something which you can actually see on the device, which is the code you write on the client. Now, we have two flavors of applications. We have Silverlight, what is I'm talking about. It, some of you may know Silverlight. Raise your hands. Who has done Silverlight? Wow. Almost everybody knows Silverlight. Cool. Then you will see that most of the things you already did on the Silverlight platform can right be translated and transformed to the Windows Phone platform. You will see that in the demos. Rapid creation of visual stunning. Okay, this is marketing speech. We'll stop that. We have common capabilities. Input. Touch is built right in, and we can use it from our code. We have the hardware buttons. We have media, digital media capture and playback, media library access, so you can access the media library right from inside your programs. You have data. Well, data is a little, there are not many features there. Data, if you want to store data on your phone, you have isolated storage. The Silverlight developers know what isolated storage is and how to deal with it. And you have link. I mean, this is it's not really storing data, but getting data back with link. There is no SQL CE or something like that built in. All you have is a file system and isolated storage. What's actually running on the phone is, well, they call it a superset of Silverlight 3.0. As you might know, Silverlight 4 is out there, but it's not on the phone. Instead, they have a Silverlight 3.0 implementation and added some features that are common to the phone. You have Windows Communication Foundation on the phone. But to be clear from the start, this is WSI Basic Profile 1.2, which means it's HTTP and HTTPS and XML and SOAP. There is no implementation of WS Security or WS Transaction or all the goodness you know from the desktop version of Windows Communication Foundation. We have pickers for contacts and photos. We have sensors, okay, and we have integration with cloud services. Xbox Live is right built into the phone. My colleague will talk about that. We have location services where you can ask, okay, where am I? And there are different ways how to find out where we are. And notification services. I will talk about that in detail later. So what's the software architecture? At the base, you have the hardware. You have the device from HTC or Samsung or whatever. Then you have a kernel, which does security, networking, storage, processes, all the things a kernel does. And inside that, you have drivers. Drivers for the hardware that is built into the phone. Now, the interesting thing is that Microsoft builds these drivers itself. In the past, in the Windows Mobile world, it was the handset makers who wrote the drivers, and that was a problem. I remember, for example, HTC built great devices. They looked great and had great features, but the drivers weren't very stable. At least I had a lot of problems with it. Now Microsoft is providing the drivers And that should ensure that the platform is more stable. On top of that, you have an app model. You have, I will talk about that in more detail. You have isolated apps, so it's not possible from one app that one app crashes another app. It's not possible that one app talks to another app. That's not possible as well. Software updates, of course, is handled by the marketplace. You have licensing and license enforcement through the App Store. And on top of that, you have a UI model. Actually, everything you see on a device is rendered through Direct3D. That's true even if it's a Silverlight application or an XNA application. We'll talk about that in more detail later. Cloud integration, applications, you have CLR running beneath. I'm not really sure if it's, in the case of a Silverlight, if it is a Silverlight runtime, because when you make errors, when you code and you get errors and something doesn't work, you get exceptions from the .NET Compact framework. So I guess, this is not officially, but I guess they took Silverlight and ported Silverlight on top of the Compact framework. But this is not official. So we have Silverlight, XNA, and HTML, JavaScript. Of course, you have a browser control as well, so you can use the browser control in your applications and load arbitrary HTML and JavaScript. But be careful. The browser that is built into Windows Phone 7 is IE7. And that means there is no HTML5. And that means that perhaps when you had applications you wrote, HTML applications you wrote for the iPhone or for Android, you can't be sure that it really works on IE7. We had problems, for example. We had a customer who did an HTML application for Android and the iPhone and just wanted to port it over to Windows Phone 7, and the browser experience or the browser engine, the IE7, which is built into Windows Phone 7, is quite restricted in that case. So then you have a couple of DLLs, a couple of APIs, and on top is where your app logic and your app UI is living. So this is, in essence, this is a software architecture. This is my favorite slide because it's so impressive. These are the Windows Phone frameworks. You have sensors, you have radio, you have camera, device integration, and all that stuff. Beneath that, you have the standard Silverlight presentation and media, controls, drawing, isolated storage, shapes, markup, media, navigation. XNA frameworks is handled in another talk. And behind that, you have the common base class library, which we all know and love from our .NET development experience. This is perhaps interesting. What is an app, actually? An app is bundled, packed, in a so-called zap file, like in Silverlight. And when you install the app from the iStore, you download it, it will be de-zipped. Do we say de-zipped? Yes. Unzipped. And it will be installed on disk. And then it just runs. You have a manifest, you will see that in a second, where you say, okay, my application needs, for example, access to the location service, and the user has to confirm that. So we leave that. So to enter the application space, one has to keep in mind that on a phone, all sorts of things can happen. Let's assume you wrote an application, a really cool application, and it's running on the phone. The user is using it and looking at it and tapping it, and cool. And now something happens. For example, a phone call comes in. So what happens now? What does your application do? Does it just stop, or is it in the background, or what is the life cycle of your application? A phone call can come in. The user can switch to another app, or he gets a text message. You get the problem. Something can happen. So Microsoft thought about that, and this is our application running. Now something happens. A call comes in, for example. Now what happens? Your application is paused and suspended, because as we don't have real multitasking on Windows Phone 7, not yet, something has to happen. So your application is going to be suspended. And this is the crucial part. While it is suspended, you have to assume that your application, that your process is killed. So that means whenever something happens on a phone, and it is very likely because it is a phone that something happens, your app is going to be suspended, and you, as application developers, are responsible to save the state of your application. And we will see how that is done actually in code. This is important. And once the user returns to your application because, for example, the call has ended, then you will get a resume event, then you restore your application, and then it's running again. So let's dive into the code. Enough of PowerPoint now. Let's do a simple, small application just that we see how everything works together. Hello? Good. How many of you have already downloaded the Windows Phone Developer Tools and play with it? Not so many, I see. Okay. So, this is Visual Studio. Yes. And there are actually two ways of getting the developer tools. If you just download the developer tools and have no Visual Studio installed, no Visual Studio Professional or higher, you will get Visual Studio Express for Windows Phone 7. And if you have Windows Phone Visual Studio Professional or higher installed, it will install right into your existing Visual Studio instance. So once you installed it, you get another template or a couple of templates. For example, Silverlight for Windows Phone, Windows Phone Panorama template. We are going to use that and just look at how it works. We'll call this Web Day Lisbon. Lisbon. Okay. We hit OK. And now Visual Studio is going to create a solution for us. And we are going to look at that solution and look what he does for us. So this is not the fastest laptop in the world. So we skip this. So loading. We are going to look inside the project structure and look what he did for us. And afterwards, we will dive into a real-world application which we have built over the last couple of weeks and months to show how it all works together, how a real-world application works. So, this is awfully slow. Okay, so it created a solution for us. And as you remember, I just talked about the whole application lifecycle. And when you want to see that in code, you see he has created an AppXAML for us. The AppXAML is the main entry point of our application, so it's kind of the main method. And you see, here's space for resources. All of the Silverlight developers, and there are a lot of Silverlight developers, know what to do with this. And we have application lifetime objects. And then we have a phone application service, and here this phone application service has some events. For example, launching. Launching means, okay, my application is starting, and you can, or you should, react to this event in an event handler, which I'll show afterwards. Closing means, okay, my application shuts down. The user hit the back button, and my application is closing down. So whenever I want to do something like store the state or something like that, I should do that here in this event method, event handler. Activated is what I talked about here. Where's my activated is what I talked about here. This is the resume state. When your application gets resumed, you get this event, and you are able to react to that. And the deactivated event is you will get this once the, for example, a telephone call comes in into your phone. Then you get this event. And this is the event where you actually store the state of your application. So what else do we have? We have an application icon. The application icon is the icon that will be shown on the start screen if you pin it to the start screen. You have a splash screen image. The splash screen image is the first image that will be shown when your application starts. Normally, especially if you have a bigger application, more complicated application, it will take a while until your application starts. And during that while, the splash screen image is shown. And normally, you would like to customize that to welcome the user or do something like that. Then we have a main page. And the main page is the page that is displayed, actually, to the user once the application starts. So what do we have here? The main page is a phone application page. This is the base class every application page derives from. Then we have a couple of namespace declarations. I think this is nothing new to you. Then there's something with data context. I will tell about. We'll talk about that later. And then this is the first thing, in my experience, the first thing when developers start developing Windows Phone 7 application, you have these magic strings here. This static resource phone font family normal. And normally, developers begin with Windows Phone 7 and they see these strings and they say, okay, where does that come from? And how can I customize this? And what does it mean? Well, turns out that if I go back in my slides, I told you that there are different themes. So it may be a yellow theme or a red theme or the blue theme. And depending on the theme the user chose, text color, for example, or font sizes or stuff like that change. And all these resources have been defined by Microsoft, but they're not easy to find. Actually, they're somewhere in programs, Microsoft SDKs, Windows Phone, V7 design, and there you have all the combinations of the themes that are possible. So it may be dark blue, which means it's the dark theme, everything's black by default, but it is the blue color scheme, or it is dark green. And if you look inside that, you see that there are two XAML files, actually. And if you open these XAML files, then this is quite common to Silverlight or WPF developers. It's just a resource dictionary. And inside that resource dictionary, it is defined how the controls, these controls, which I think I showed here, these controls, where are they? These controls, how they look like on the phone. So these are just standard Silverlight controls. The OK button there is just a standard Silverlight button. But the way it looks on the phone is defined in this system Windows XAML file. So we could search for it, and somewhere is a button, I don't know where. And this is just, here is a phone button base. This is how the system works together. So we don't want to change that. So this font family is defined in that resource dictionary, and you can look in that resource dictionary and look what else, what other resources are defined there. And once you use these defined resources, your application will automatically adapt to the theme that has been chosen by the user. So then we have a grid, which is called layout root. It's just a grid, it's a normal Silverlight grid with the name layout root. This is actually your screen. This is what you see on your device. And inside that layout root, we have a couple of controls. This control is the panorama control. The panorama control is this guy here. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I don't find it. I had a slide for it, but I can't find it. There. The panorama control enables you to do applications, write applications like this one. You can hit on this item or on this item, then it will scroll smoothly with a nice animation and get you there. And beneath that item, you can define whatever you want. You can add pictures or lists or whatever you have. So this is defined here. Then you have a background for this panorama control. It's just a standard, ordinary image brush with an image source. It's nothing new for you. And then you have a list box with an item template. In that item template, you have a data template, you have a stack panel, and you have some sort of data binding. So everyone who has ever seen Silverlight development should immediately say, well, this is nothing new to me. This is just plain standard Silverlight. So if we hit F5 and run that guy, then the emulator starts up, and it will take a while. And then we see our application. This is the first item. And as we saw, there's a list beneath that, and that list is data-bound to test data. And this is how it looks like. And if I go here, and click here, and the second icon appears, and we have as well some an ordinary list with some list items and a list item template, which is an image and some text. So this is the panorama control. And we haven't written a line of code yet. So, cool. Just to quickly show the debugging model or debugging capabilities, we can add some code here, I think. Debug. Right lane. Lonely someone. And we can hit a breakpoint there. And we hit F5, and I hope he gets the breakpoint. Yeah, he actually does. So everything works as you would expect from a Microsoft development environment. You can just deploy your application to the emulator. The emulator is actually capable of multi-touch. So if you have a multi-touch monitor or a multi-touch enabled device, you can even test your multi-touch functionality on the emulator. And you can just work with breakpoints and your normal debugging techniques just like you you're used to. So now there's another thing I wanted to show you. This is a little bit more advanced, but I think it's interesting. There's this notion going on in the developer community. Just a second. I open this solution. There's this notion going on in the developer community that you just can use C# to build Windows Phone 7 apps. Well, it turns out that's not correct, because what I want to show you with this demo, if it loads, is that it's everything you have is really just standard Silverlight 3 and a common language runtime beneath that. And as we all know, the common language runtime has no idea which programming languages you use to program them. So you could use anything that produces verifiable .NET code to program Windows Phone 7 applications. So what I wanted to show you is that you are even able to reuse all your Silverlight libraries and your Silverlight UIs, maybe, because it's just Silverlight 3 and nothing else. There's nothing special about the Silverlight 3 implementation on the Windows Phone. It should just work. So here, for example, we have a small application. Again, we have our layout route. And in this layout route, in this layout route, we have a stack panel. And in this stack panel, we reference a Silverlight VB.NET user control. So what is this? We simply added a VB project to a Windows Phone 7 project. And in that VB project, we added a standard Silverlight user control. This is nothing special. This is just, as you can see, standard user control, Silverlight free user control. And in this user control, we have a list box with an item source set to binding. And if you look at the code, we do some data binding. We say, me, data context, hello from VB.NET on Windows Phone 7. And some other arbitrary texts. And then we added an F-sharp project. Is anyone anybody doing F-sharp here? It's not that common. Oh, quite. One, two, three. For some application scenarios, you maybe want to write your business logic or parts of your business logic in other languages, for example, in F-sharp, because it's perhaps more expressive for your needs. And you're able to do that. So when I run this thing, you'll see our small application running in our... Yeah. It says, hello from VB.net on WPF, WP7, our text. And at the bottom, you are running F-sharp code on Windows Phone 7. So what's the purpose of this demonstration? The purpose is that, and I think that's important for developers, you have to understand there's nothing special about the Silverlight implementation on Windows Phone 7. It's just a Silverlight implementation, it's just a CLR, so everything that runs on the CLR will run on Windows Phone 7. And Microsoft is communicating, well, it's only C-sharp is supported and so on. You can do anything. You can use anything that runs on a CLR. And as you saw, you can use standard Silverlight-free user controls and just get them onto the phone. And as long as you don't define how they should look like, they automatically look like Windows Phone 7 controls because, as we saw, it is all defined in the XAML files which are behind it. You get that? Cool. So now let's do some more advanced things and look how everything works together. I'll close that. I'll close that. I'll close that. And we go to this. So this is a real-world application. As you can see, there are quite a lot of code in it. And I'm going to show you, first of all, how it looks like. Cool. So I just hit F5, and let's see how it looks like. Where is my emulator? So this is a small weather application. This is actually live data from Berlin at the moment. So in Berlin, it's 16 o'clock. No, it's not 16 o'clock. Anyway, and it's 12 degrees, and we have not so nice weather than here in Lisbon. So I'm glad to be here. And in the evening at 19 o'clock, it will be even worse, and it will be dark. So I'm glad that I'm here. So how do we build stuff like that? If you go further, you have some sorts of favorites, and you have a menu where you have, for example, preferences, where you can look at the temperatures or say how do we want to see the temperatures in Fahrenheit or Celsius degree or something like that? So what is behind this? What is this thing all about? For example, we could go make a search and say, okay, we go to Lisbon. Lisbon. Oh my God. Lisbon. Okay, search it, Lisboa, we go there, we add it, and we see the weather outside, which is far better than in Germany. It's 23 degrees, and will still be 19 degrees at 19 o'clock. So what is behind this? How do we do this? Well, usually you get data from somewhere in the web. And how do you deal with that data? Well, I'm going to show you. What's behind that is nothing else than just XML serialization. Anyone who has done XML serialization on a .NET platform will recognize this immediately. So you have an XML root attribute, you have a feed that is defined, and this feed has certain subnodes. And then you go into these subnodes and just define them using their attributes. So this is just plain XML serialization stuff. You could do it like this, or you could use link to XML to get your data into your phone, or you could use the data contract serializer from the WCF stack, whatever fits your needs best. However, the only way to get the data actually to your phone is using a web client. You have the web client, or you have the HTTP web request clause, and this web client has only one method, which is download string async. And as you can see, everything on the phone is asynchronous. It's not possible to do synchronous calls to the web. All you can do is do it async. So you have to register on the web client an event handler, which is download string completed event handler. And then you say, okay, download it async for me. And here is the event handler, client download string completed. And then you do something with it. For example, if you load XML and you work together with XML serializer, you can use a serializer and deserialize it. And then you have an object you can do something with. We will see what you can do with this object. And then this is the mechanism how it works on the Windows Phone 7 platform. Then when you are ready, when your XML feed loading is completed, then you raise an event and say, okay, I'm ready. So that the user interface layers get recognized that the data processing, the deserialization, is finished now. So this is what we're doing here. This is, I think, a common scenario. You get data from the web somewhere, from some server in XML or text format or whatever. You download it asynchronously. You do something with the data. You deserialize it. You create an object graph or whatever. And then you raise an event and say, hey, we're done. So once we're done, the actual user interface can do something with it. And this is what happens here. We say, okay, once we get our event that our data are ready, we do something. This is the event handler. And then we say, okay, we set a data context for our view. And this is pretty much it. And since in the moment we have a data context set in our view, we can just work with data binding. So this is our main page. And all we do in our main page is, now come on, this is really slow. All we do in our main page
is we set some data bindings. For example, in the object we just deserialized from the web, we get a property called symbol image. And all we have to do, and this is the path to the image, and all we have to do is data bind the symbol image to the image control. And that's pretty much it. So to sum this up, the normal way is you get data from somewhere, you build your object model, you consider how you do the serializing and deserializing stuff. There are certain options how you can do that. Then you have an object model. Once you have your objects ready, you fire an event. And once the event is there, you can do something with it. You can set a data context. And once you have a data context, you can work with data binding. And this is how this is done. So this is pretty easy, isn't it? I mean, for everyone who has done Silverlight development, this should be pretty straightforward. So this is pretty much I wanted to show. Are there questions so far? No question at all? So in the essence, what I wanted to show you is, as there are quite a lot of Silverlight developers here, it's just a standard Silverlight-free runtime running on the phone. You would work just like you would normally work in a Silverlight application, using serialization to get your data, using data binding, using the standard Silverlight controls. Then you work with data binding, and yeah, it just works. No questions so far? Nothing? Yeah, please.
That Phone 7 will work with WCF, Windows Communication Foundation. Which type of authentications may be available? Digital certificate or username and password? Which types of certifications will be available?
So you want to use WCF to access a web service somewhere?
Yes.
SOAP, something. There is no WS security or something like that built in. All you have is WSI basic profile. 1.2. So I think...
Which bindings are available? Basic HTTP binding? Basic HTTP binding supports that's digital certificated.
Yes, that's the only thing you have. That's the only thing you have. Basic HTTP and basic HTTPS binding, yes.
So no security can be implemented?
No. Other questions?
Do we get to call up things like make a call, send an SMS message, etc., or is that forbidden from within Silverlight?
Yeah, because we are quite late on time, I didn't show that. I have actually a demo for that. Just run this thing.
So if we go here, for example, you have something like about. And here you can click on a mail link, and then you can't send mail at the moment because we don't have mail here. But what is behind this is the following. I can show it to you. How this is done is you have an about page. So, and in this about page, you have links. And as you might guess, this is nothing else than a hyperlink button. Here, you have a hyperlink button. And on that hyperlink button, you have text and you have a click event. And if you navigate to that click event, then you have a so-called email complete task. Called email compose task. For example, let's delete this. There is a library called system. Microsoft Phone Tasks, exactly. Microsoft Phone Tasks. Microsoft Phone Tasks. And in this tasks namespace, you have quite a lot of tasks. You have, for example, a camera capture task. And you can use this camera capture task and say, OK, show. And then the camera dialog on the phone will show up. The user's able to make a photo. And you have a callback method where you get the image data. And then you can process the image data, for example.
I don't want to sound old-fashioned.
Pardon?
I would expect the phone task to be something like SMS.
Yeah, yeah.
What
you have here is...
Email, cameras, I know phones these days do everything, but
yep.
Do they still get to make a call or send an SMS message?
You have an SMS task, and you have a call task. What you can do is programmatically send the SMS, actually. So you can prepare the SMS sending dialogue.
Then the user has to...
The user has always to confirm, because you cannot do this programmatically. But you can prepare the task. You can set the number, you can set the message, but the user has to confirm it. And that's right built in here. Yes?
Okay, thank you.
Questions?
So, in the same way, you can receive an SMS, right?
Receive an SMS?
Yeah.
What would be the scenario?
Let's say you have a server-based application which sends commands via SMS to your application.
I haven't talked about that, as I said. But what you have is the so-called notification services. I'll show that. I have slides for that. Yeah. What you want to do is server-initiated communication to your phone, right?
Right.
So something happened, you have a server, something happens on the server, and you want the phone to react to that.
Exactly.
Okay? You want some sort of eventing. So in Windows Phone, this is called push notifications. This is server-initiated communication, just like you want, and it enables background scenarios. So you have your application running, something happens in the cloud.
So is this something like Apple's APNS, Apple Push Notification Service? Is this something like that?
It's very much like that, yes.
So do we have to set up something with Microsoft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the process how it works. You have three notification types. The first thing is you can notify your application icon. So on the start screen, you have your application icon, and you can set a new text behind that, or you can change the number up there, or you can change the whole image. What means
or what implicates that if you want to change the whole image, you have to process the image, to render the image on the server, and then send it to the client device. This is one thing you can do. The other thing you could do is sending arbitrary messages through your to your application, but this only works if your application is running. And as you don't have multitasking, you cannot assume that your application is running. But since it is running, you can notify it. The architecture behind that is the following. You have your app. Just a second. You register a channel you register a channel to the push notification services. It returns an URI. And to this URI, you are able to send data from your service, which you are running somewhere in the cloud. And then the phone will be notified of the notification. And then you have the three notification types. You can notify your app. You can have a toast. This is on the start screen, a small notification bar appears, and once the user clicks on it, your application gets opened. Or you can push notify the tile, which is the tile is your application icon on the start button. So if you want to have server-initiated communication to your phone, you would use this architecture. Other questions? No? Then I would say we finish here. I'm still at the Ask the Experts booth. We have devices there, so we will be glad to show you the actual device. So, and if you have any questions, just come to me. I'm here hanging around. And then I say thank you. And that was it.